feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you shall get loaded.
Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3.
Oh, he's a wonder.
He's a wonder. The gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lee.
Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective member on this path, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
And in Miss Lou.
Come on, come and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur Lamb, the Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, once again, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes through this radio broadcast, into your automobiles, and through whatever means necessary, man, and share with y'all. I know, not only do I believe, but I know it's the greatest story that has ever been told. It's the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed. It's the main event of what God is doing. You know, and God called it, what Jesus called it, the gospel of the kingdom. You know, and that's what his ministry was all about. That's what he was going about proclaiming and manifesting and declaring and decreeing, and not just enticing words, but in demonstration and in power. What was he going about, man, proclaiming? Well, that all of the kingdom of heaven, all that heaven consists of, all that heaven is all about, everything that all of heaven is your inheritance. It belonged to you. It was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And God set it up on you, on this earth, boy, in your life, man, and he started you on your course toward that destination. But of it being in your life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Hey, God set that up. This is what God doing. That's why I say it's the greatest message, because it's not what we are doing for God. It's what God is doing. Listen, for us and also through us. So, again, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles and share with y'all, you know, this end-time message. You know, Jesus said it this way, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony, then the end is going to come. When is the end going to come? You know, they had asked him a question, you know, that led up to that, you know. And the question that his disciples had asked him, you know, is they had asked him a question, Lord, when will the end come? And then he started telling them about, you know, the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these things. And then he made a statement, you know, he said, but the end is not yet. He said, when you see all these things coming, most of the time we see all these things coming, we say, oh, Lord, the end is yet. The end ain't far. And then I don't know how long, how far you, whatever far might be to you, because anyway, you know, he say the end is not yet. He say this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end gonna come. And no man don't know the day or the hour. I can't tell you it's coming, man, you know, in 2045. No man know the day or the hour, but he can know, boy, when. He just said it right there in the book in Matthew's. When this gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world as a testimony, then the end gonna come. That's why I say it's an end time message. It's not a preliminary bounce. Thank God for all the other messages that we've heard. You know, most of them been preliminary bounce, and they're good messages and everything else. But the purpose for the preliminary bounce is to get you ready for the main event. Boy, in this day and time, boy, we're on the brink of a global explosion. A global explosion of the gospel of the kingdom. See, right now, it's just a little leaven that has been put into a boy, a bushel of meal. What's the bushel of meal? This earth. And boy, let me tell you something about a little leaven, man. It'll affect, man, the whole bushel of meal. This gospel of the kingdom is like a little leaven. Has been hid in the bushel of meal, but boy, it'll affect the whole meal. It's going to affect the whole earth. But man, God finished with what he started. Hey, listen, boy, it's going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. It's going to be, let me say it in a different way. It's going to be in our lives here on earth. Where, Arthur? It's going to be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. And when you really come to the knowledge of that, boy, you'll start charting your course toward that destination. you'll stop trying to get, and we'll start just having. We'll stop trying to get saved, man, and we'll just start being saved. We'll stop trying to get healed and start being healed. We'll stop trying to get blessed and just start being blessed. We'll stop trying to get what we already have. And then just start having what's already ours. I'm going to say that again. We'll start trying to get what's already ours and start having what's... The Bible said it this way, boy, it gives the Father great pleasure to give us the kingdom that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. That's our inheritance. It belongs to us. We're trying to get what we already have. Look at that other boy, I'm telling you, boy, it's the greatest story that's ever been told. And let me tell you something, there's an enemy to that story. And boy, that enemy to that story, boy, is the devil. He don't mind you, boy, being preoccupied with all the preliminary bouts and everything else, because, boy, let me tell you something, that disrupts his camp also, boy. That get God people out of Egypt, man, over into the wilderness. Man, that get God people, man, saved, man, but not converted.
Yeah, a lot of Christians. Saved, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they ain't converted. They're wandering around in the wilderness. When all the time, right over there, right across the Jordan River, right within their reach, is a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they ain't have to wait for a manna from heaven and water from a rock. The land was flowing with milk and honey. The type and shadow of God's greatest desire for your life was that you get your inheritance. How you gonna get your inheritance, Arthur? Man, you got to know about your inheritance. Your inheritance got to be made known to you. How it gonna be made known to you, boy? That's the end time message. You got to be preached to you. That's why I say this gospel of the kingdom. It ain't say the gospel of salvation or the gospel of Jesus or the gospel of prosperity or the gospel of faith or none of that. All those contain in it, but he say this gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom, boy? What God is doing. Not what we're doing for God. I say this again. Not what we're doing for God and trying our best to appease God, but no, what God is doing for us and what God has done for us. Know what God is doing for us? Man, God is redeeming our lives from a destruction. What destruction, boy? That kingdom that I told you he set up, man, on this earth, boy, and started mankind on his way, man, we lost that in one man's rebellion, in one man's disobedience, because of one man's sin. And instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. And you know the story about Jesus Christ and everything else and all the good news. But you don't know, boy, the main reason why he came in to restore, man, that what God had set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He come to restore that back. He didn't come to set up a religion. He didn't come to have a church. He didn't come to, man, you know, do the thing that we as a church are doing up on the earth. No, the church really don't know what its real purpose really is. Church is a colony. You know, people from hell with an assignment, what, boy, to colonize this earth. How you going to colonize this earth? What you mean colonize this earth? Make this earth a colony of heaven. What you mean make this earth a colony of heaven, man? Make it on earth just like it is in heaven. That's the purpose of the church. We preoccupied with having church instead of, man, being the church. Say that again, Arthur. I say we preoccupied with having church. And, boy, you can have some good church. Stir up your emotion, get you all excited and everything else, and give you hope for tomorrow. Everything will be all right in the sweet by and by, boy. When we all make it to heaven, what a day of rejoicing is going to be. Now the Bible says the day is the day of salvation. The day is the day of rejoicing. And the day is the day that the Lord has made. And we ought to be rejoicing in it all, man. What? Becoming who you already are. But if you don't know who you already are, man, how you going to become that? How you going to know that, boy? You got to know about the gospel of the kingdom. You got to know the end time message. You got to know, boy, the message, not of Jesus Christ, but the message that Jesus Christ preached. See, all the preliminary about, man, been the message of Jesus and all that he did and who he is. But, boy, a lot of you ain't heard, boy, what he said. You heard about what he did and who he is, but you ain't really heard what he said. Yeah, Lord. Why? Because, boy, you ain't heard the gospel of the kingdom. Let me tell you something more about the gospel of the kingdom. If you ever hear the gospel of the kingdom, your search will be over with. If you really ever hear it, man, you'll repent. You'll change everything. You'll do like old Paul did, man. Old Saul of Tarsus. Saul said, I count it all dung. Lord. Oh, I'm talking about he's a well-educated man in theology and everything else, man. A devout religious Jew with Roman citizenship. He wouldn't know anybody. Well-versed, man. Went to the best school. Sit at the feet of Gamaliel. You know, went to the top universities. Knew all about the Jewish religion and Judaism and devout Pharisees. But boy, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, when he came in contact with, boy, the gospel of the kingdom, he said, I count all that I know and all that I learned and all that I was in, all the religions, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians and Sanhedrin Council and all of them, and I count all that as dumb, that I might know him, that I might grab a hold to this message. I was persecuting it at first, man, and just trying to destroy it at first. Why? Because I didn't really hear. I heard about it, but I didn't really hear. But one day, boy, I heard it. It changed his life. What you saying, Arthur, boy, have you ever hear the gospel of the King? Have you ever hear this message? I told you it's the greatest message that's ever been told. It's the greatest message that's ever been preached. And let me tell you something about this message right here, boy. It's the common denominator. Jesus prayed it this way. He said, Lord, I pray that they might become one. What do you mean might become one, man? That they all might be men in the same purpose, the same, that they might get in on what we're doing. Not trying to get us in on what they're doing, but they come in and find out and learn of me and see what we're doing, and then they get in on that. What they doing, boy, they, man, establishing, man, the heaven on earth. They re-establishing God's original plan and purpose and destiny, man, for mankind's life and the purpose of this earth back, man, to what God's original idea, original plan, original purpose was for it. What? That you have dominion over all the earth. That you have the authority and the power and the control and the kingship and the rulership, man, over every circumstance, situation, and symptom, man, that, man, confronts your life and your environment, man, on this earth. But what pray with all that, man, so that, boy, you might, man, establish, boy, a culture. I ain't talking about the American culture and the African culture and all that. I'm talking about, boy, the culture of hell. Boy, pray with God so that it might be on earth like it is in heaven. What God doing, man? God's original plan, and I told you this many times for the last 3 years, boy. God's original plan and purpose, boy, was to extend his governing and influence from the unseen realm, his territory, the heaven, to a seen realm. So he created, man, the whole universe and the earth. Specified the earth. The earth is a part of the universe, but he specified that. He said God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the earth is a part of the heavens. That's all he gave you, all the space and all that, the whole universe. The heaven is a part of the earth is a part of that, but he specified the earth. Why? Because, boy, the way he going to extend his governing influence of heaven to earth is through his family of sons called mankind. That's you and I. What he doing? He want to establish his governing influence from his territory, the unseen realm, to another territory, a seen realm. So he created the earth, and then he brought you down to the earth. Where you come from? You come from heaven. You might not know that. Bible say, boy, your citizenship is in heaven. Your original citizenship is in heaven. You come from God. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. Where I come from? I come from God. Where is God? He's in heaven. The way I originated there, you originated in heaven. Hallelujah. Listen, the way you colonize a place, man, you send, man, a governor to the territory, the lead man, and then you send other citizens from the territory, too. But listen, boy, God sent the governor. The governor is the Holy Spirit. And then, man, he came down to this earth, man, and formed a body for you and I, and then breathed into that body the breath of life. And man became a living soul with an assignment, with a mandate. What? Replenish the earth. Make it on earth just like it is in here. Who is that? That's the church. What church is that, man? That's the Sanhedrin church. That's the Pharisee church. That's the Sadducees church. That's the Catholic church. That's the Christian church. That's the Muslim church. That's the Buddhist church. That's the Hindu. That's the Scientology church. That's the atheist church. No, man, I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's church. God called our ones. The ones he called out that would sit at his feet, that would learn of him, that would know his nature and his mind and his character and what he wanted. Then, boy, he sent them out, man, to territory, man, and with the mind of him. To do what, boy? To establish that, boy, in that foreign territory. They had to come from him. They had to fellowship with him. They had to commune with him. They had to know him. so they could know what his will is and what his desire was, man, so that they could carry out the assignment, what? Establish his will and desire, man, on this earth. How are you going to do that, boy? Through his church, through his cabinet, through his called out one, that would know him, not of him, and not about him, and not the things that he did, and not know his hands, but I'm talking about know him first. Not only know him, boy, in the pardon of your sin, but, boy, come all the way past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the church services, the holy place, man, past all the Old Testament stuff, everything that went on in there, all the way, man, behind the veil into the literal presence of the Most High God, just like Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, man. What was that? In the presence of the Most High God. It was in heaven on earth. A little garden that God planted. Listen, God didn't trust them to find it. God placed them there. And then, boy, God told them, man, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Lord. Well, boy, make the earth just like this little garden of Eden. That's the purpose of the church. That's the church. That's the church that God established more than Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And listen, boy, it wasn't, man, church as we know it. Church as we know it is a product of the fall. The way what we're doing here, man, is a product of the fall. They didn't have no preachers and apostles and bishops and all that, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. There's no man need to be taught of God, boy. I'm talking about the animals, man, walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. And let me say this while I'm right here. When God was talking to Adam in the Garden of Eden, God was talking to everybody. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Because he just made one body from the ground. He never went back to the earth again. Everybody come from that one body. Everybody was in that one body. And let me say this, by the way, too. In the same way, boy, in the redemptive plan of God, boy, everybody is in one body, too. Everybody that's in that one body in Adam, we all, man, fell in Adam. We all, man, took up on the nature and the character of Adam, man. And when Adam sinned, man, sin came upon the whole human race. Hallelujah. But, boy, the good news is, man, same thing, man, as in the, all of us in Adam, so is all of us in Christ. And by the obedience of one man, who is that? Jesus Christ. By the disobedience of one man, sin and death came upon the whole human race. But by the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, then, boy, the free gift of righteousness, and, boy, I'm talking about a law that the original law was, the law of life that's in Christ Jesus has set you and I and every man and every woman and every boy and every girl free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do because of the weakness, man, of the sinful nature of man, because we all were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, God sent forth his Son, hallelujah, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, man, and did what, boy, condemn sin. He didn't declare us not suitable for use because of the sin in our life. He declared the sin in our life not suitable for use against us. Cleansed us up from all our unrighteousness. But what purpose God so that we could get back on course toward his original plan and purpose and destiny for our life? Not for us, man, to go to church and have church on Sundays and say that was a good message, and, man, got your emotions stirred up and your hair stood up on your arms and you shouted and you fell out and all that. Man, listen, man, that's all right. That's all right. That's a means to end. Those are preliminary bouts, man. They're supposed to lead up to the main event. What's the main event, man, that you be the church? Not just half church, man, but that you be the church. Glory to God. And, boy, that's what God is searching through and through the earth for now, boy, in this day and your generation. Boy, if you listening to this broadcast, boy, let me tell you something. I'll say it again. If you ever hear this message, you're going to want to hear it again and again and again. And I said this earlier, too, boy, you got an enemy that don't ever want you to hear this. He don't mind you being preoccupied by the preliminaries. Those are good things. And that's his most successful. Who you talking about? I'm talking about that devil. You might think he ain't real, but, boy, let me tell you something. And he ain't no joke either. And let me tell you something, if you don't know, boy, your authority and your power and your ability and that this old devil that ain't no joke has been stripped of all his authority and power, you don't know him, if you're ignorant of his device and everything else, he'll take you captive at his will. I don't care what you say, that's the word of God. The Bible says don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, because if you are, he'll take you captive at his will. You know what his greatest device is against you, the church? It's to preoccupy you with them preliminary thoughts. Preoccupy you with all the other good news. As long as you don't get to the good news gospel of the kingdom. Let me tell you something, boy, all them other messages is good news too. All them preliminary bouts, man, is good bouts too, good news too, good fight too, man. But let me tell you something, boy, they all is a purpose for that. To get you geared up for the main event. What's the main event, boy? This gospel, what do you mean the gospel of the kingdom, boy? That the kingdom has come back to the earth. That what God is doing is come back to the earth. And what God originally planned and prayed and destiny was, man, is come back to the earth. And that you and I can come on right on back into man and find out what God's plan and what God's purpose and destiny is for your life. And when you discover that, your search will be over with. I told you, be just like old Saul. You'll go sell everything that you got. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hid in a field. And when you discover that treasure, you go sell everything that you got, man. You come back and buy that field because you want that whole treasure. And that's why I say you don't do away with the preliminary bouts. Those are all good, too, man. You come back and buy the whole field. Why? Because that's a treasure that's in that field. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, that's a treasure that's in all them preliminary bouts, man. That's cut up my shot to the yellow. When you discover that treasure, that's why I come on this radio broadcast with boy and host, man. That, man, let me tell you something, that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life. Because you determine your future and destiny. That's your responsibility. God said, I give you dominion over the earth. A lot of things we asking God to do and God done told us to do. We ask God to stretch forth his NASCAR hand and touch brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and heal their bodies. And that's all right. You can send the word too, but God said, you go. You lay hands on. You my body. You my hands. You my voice. You... You're my image. You're my likeness. You're my character. You're my nature. You're my offspring. You're my representative. You're my ambassadors. You go lay hands on them. You go cast out devils. That's what he told man Peter, James, and John them when he sent them out, man, two by two. He told them, listen, man, don't take no purse. Don't take no script. You ain't got to have no money. This ain't about all that, man. Just be getting specific instruction. He said, go preach the gospel of the kingdom. Don't go tell them about me, man. Go tell them about the kingdom and cast out devils and heal the sick. Oh, Lord, boy, they come back rejoicing. Why? Because, boy, they weren't there having no church. They were being the church. What they were doing, boy, they were casting out devils. They were setting people free, man, from the bondage and slavery of Satan himself. What the bondage and slavery of Satan himself? To keep you from the main event. I told you, don't mind. That's his greatest weapon and tactic against us, to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. Listen, a lot of messages that I hear out there, man, listen, I hope you don't take this wrongly, man, and I don't want to offend nobody, but nevertheless, man, the only message, man, that the church ought to be preaching, man, is the message that Jesus Christ commanded them to preach and told them to preach. He told them, man, go preach the kingdom of God. That's when he sent them out two by two. When he gave them the Great Commission, he said, go and teach them, make disciples of all men, and teach them everything I taught you. Everything he taught them, man, about the kingdom of God. Everything that he preached to them was about the kingdom of God. Everything that he said, everything, the whole four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you ain't going to find but one subject matter in those gospels, in those books, and that's the gospel of the kingdom. In every last one of them. What's the gospel of the kingdom? Not what Jesus did and not what who Jesus is. Well, what's the gospel of the kingdom? What Jesus said. What he said. All of the kingdom of heaven is within your reach. It's within hand's reach. It's among you. What do you mean among you? I come to bring it back. I come to bring back, man, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I come to bring back the Garden of Eden, man. What was going on in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's the government I have on my shoulder. I come to colonize, to recolonize earth with heaven again. fulfill the assignment, man, that Adam, man, you know, didn't fulfill. And all those men who will come unto me, you'll find rest for your soul, said the Lord. And you'll cease from your works, and you'll enter into a work that's already completed. What work is that, boy? I'm talking about, boy, the work, man, that God is doing. What's God doing, boy? God is redeeming our life from destruction for a purpose. What you mean, redeeming our life from destruction for a purpose? All the stuff about Calvary and Jesus Christ dying up on the cross and all that, man, by now that ought to be elementary to us. We ought to be so far past that, man, but we still, man, hanging around the cross. But, man, we ought to be, man, getting to where Jesus Christ really is. Listen, he ain't no suffering savior no more, man. He's a reigning king. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, man, he said he won't require me. He said he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. And the only requisition that God asked Jesus, asked him that, he said, listen, I'm going to take your place. The only thing I ask you to do, man, is to take my place. Well, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to take all your sins and everything else, and you take all my righteousness. You take my place. It's changed. All your messed up ways and all your sins and all your faults and mistakes, man, I'm going to take that, man, and I'm going to lay it up on me, man, and I'm going to take it up on a hill called Calvary, man, and I'm going to take care of all of that. I'm going to take it off of you, and I'm going to put it on me. The only thing I ask you to do, boy, is to take my place. I'm going to take your sin, you take my righteousness. I'm going to take your weaknesses and inability, you take my power and my strength. I'm going to take your separation from God, man, and you take my, man, oneness with God. I'm going to take your death, man, and you take my life. I'm going to take your old character and your old nature, and you take mine. I'm going to take everything that you've been saying, man, and you start saying what I said. I'm going to take your place, but the only thing I want you to do, boy, is take my place. Let me tell you something. He ain't no suffering savior no more. He's a reigning king. You know where his place is? He's seated at the right hand of the Most High God, far above all principalities and powers and dominions and might, man. Where he at now, boy? He's a reigning king. He ain't no suffering savior no more, man. He did all that. Bible says we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Let me tell you something, boy. Don't you think we've been suffering long enough? How come we ain't reigning? Because you don't know about the reigning king. You don't know about the kingdom. You ain't discovered that treasure that hid in the field. You might be just wandering around in the wilderness, saved, but not converted. Say that again, R.D. You might be saved, man, but just like the children of Israel was, man, they were saved. They weren't in Egypt no more. They weren't under the bondage of Pharaoh no more, yet they was under that mentality of Pharaoh. They had fear and doubt and slave mentality, man. And as a result of that, man, they wandered around in the wilderness, man, for 40 years until, man, majority of them died in the wilderness. Let me tell you something. They were saved. Just like the church, man. They saved. They wandered around in the wilderness, though. I think it's time, listen, I told y'all last week on the radio, I like Joshua and Caleb, man. You know, I got that mentality, man. We'd be more than able to go in and possess the land. You got the others come back and say, no, they got giants in the land. You got all kind of people come out there. No, you know, the kingdom ain't here yet. That's in the sweet by and by. There's all kind of controversy about it, man. That ain't what Jesus said. I don't care about what man said and theology said and this and that, man. Jesus said, boy, repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's among you. It's here. How come to bring it? It was prophesied to you, boy, many times. Isaiah said it, man, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, man, and a government shall be up on his shoulder, and shall be called Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And of his governing system, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. What he coming with? He coming, man, with religion? No. He coming with theology? Not like we know. He coming with the church the way we know it? No. He coming, man? No. He coming with a ruling authority. He coming with the governing system of heaven. You come in with the kingdom of heaven, and all that heaven consists of, and the laws of heaven. Let me tell you something while I said that right there. The laws of heaven is different from the laws of Moses. And if you ever want to get to the place, if we ever want to get to the place where we keep the law of Moses that God gave Moses to give to the children of Israel, man, you got to get back to the original law. What the original law, boy? That's a law that Jesus, I told you, I quoted it a little while ago, boy. That's a law in the kingdom, man, called a law of life. That's in your Bible, in Genesis chapter 2. See, all we've been talking about for the last 2.5 years, 3 years, we've been on this radio broadcast sharing with y'all, boy, the rediscovering and the introduction to the gospel of the kingdom, man. We've just been sharing with you, man, one chapter. one verse. One passage of scripture in the Old Testament, that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. And God said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness, our dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and over everything that creepeth upon the earth and over all the earth. So God created them in his image. In his image created he them. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Boy, he put on the inside of them everything that he had need of with the Holy Spirit. To do what? To be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth just like it is in heaven. Boy, that's what God set up, boy. I told you in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, it goes into a little bit of detail. It goes into where God starts setting up his laws, man. The first law that God set up in his kingdom, because let me tell you something, God is a God of laws. Jesus ain't going to do away with the law of Moses and everything else. Man, I fulfill that, man. I couldn't set you back up, man, with the original laws. What's the original law, Lord? The law of life. What's the law of life, boy? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this, and God formed man's body from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into man's body, nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Boy, that's a law right there. That's a law of life. You know what Jesus said back in I'm getting a little ahead of myself. You know what Jesus said in Romans chapter 8, verse 2? He said, boy, In chapter 7 of Romans, Paul was saying, oh, wretched man that I am, man. You know, things I want to do, I don't do. In other words, let me cut to the chase. Paul was saying, man, listen, I'm on my way to perfection, but I ain't reached there yet. I'm still undone. I still got some shortcomings. I ain't reached the fullness of a stature of Christ yet, but I'm on my road there, man. He's saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who going to deliver me from all them things that I'm still doing that ain't right, man, you know, while I'm on my journey, man, headed toward me and my destination, becoming man who I already am, just like my master, just like my creator, just like my big brother Jesus. But while I'm on my journey there, man, sometimes the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, man, who going to deliver me? Thanks be unto God. Then go on to say, boy, that is therefore now, old Paul, no condemnation. It ain't going to stop you, man, from reaching your destiny. As long as you keep on pressing on toward that prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. As long as you just keep on keeping on. As long as you just keep on becoming, man, who you already are. Why? Because the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do through the weakness of the natural man, the sinful man, God sent forth his son. Who? God sent forth his son. Made in the likeness of sinful men, but yet without sin, man. So why? So that you and I might have a way back to the tree of life. What's that, boy? The law of life. The life. What's the law of life, boy? What God said. What God said, let's make him in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion. Let them have kingship. Let them have rulership. He made us kings, rulers, over domain. What domain is that? The earth. Then, boy, let me tell you something. Then over later on in Genesis chapter 2, around verse 15, the Bible says, then God planted a garden. After he formed man's body from the dust of the ground, he breathed into man's body the breath of life. That's a law. The law of life. That's the primary law in the kingdom. Boy, I don't care what, no, nothing happened after that. You can't stop what God didn't already said. If he didn't spoke it, baby, it's coming to pass. He spoke that, man, before anything, man. before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says this here, man, the promises that God gave to Abraham, can the law that came 430 years later make of none effect, man, the promises that God made to Abraham? No. Do you think, man, with the law that God gave Moses and the breaking of the law of mankind and all that broke the law can make of none effect, man, what God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31? No, that's the law of life, hallelujah. That's why I said, boy, Jesus Christ come back, man, and preaching, man, what? If you ever hear what he said, boy, he was preaching, man, the law of life. He was preaching what God said. He said it this way, I only say what I hear my father say, and I only do what he tells me, what I see him do. That's it. That's it, boy. And let me tell you something, he's the father of light, and there's a good thing coming down for him, boy. He's a God of love, man. He's a God of tender mercy and compassion, man, and it's new every day, man. He's got nothing but love for you, boy. His love for you covers a multitude to all your faults and mistakes. That don't mean that you can just do anything, but when you discover, man, how much and really, man, receive and know how much God loves you, let me tell you something, you ain't going to want to sin, man. That don't mean you won't sin, but, boy, it won't be your nature no more. You'll be trying to come out of sin, man. You won't be dibbling and dabbling in it and, man, making excuses for it and try to justify it. No, baby, you'll continue repenting, man, and you'll fall, man, you'll get back up, baby. And if you fall again, you'll get back up. And if you fall again, you'll get back up. And every time you fall, you'll keep getting back up, hallelujah. Why, boy? Because you're pressing on toward the prize of a high calling that's in Christ Jesus. Boy, what's the high calling in Christ Jesus? To be just like it. That's what he was preaching. That's what he was preaching. That's what he was saying. I ain't talking about what he did and everything else and who he is, man. That's preliminary about. But what he was saying, this is what he was saying. You just like me, hallelujah. I come to show you who you are. If you see me, boy, you see you. If you see me, you see the Father. And if you see the Father, you see you because you created in his image and his likeness. I didn't come to tell you, man, look at me and check me out and everything else. Yes, look at me and check me out, man, and give me my prop and everything else. But, boy, I'm telling you something greater than that, man. What that is, as I am, so are you. The work that I do, so can you. As the Father sent me, so I'm going to send you. To do what, man? To reestablish, man, his original plan and purpose back up on his earth. So Jesus called them disciples. Say, hey, man, come go with me. Come follow me. Come learn of me. Come sit at my feet. Come be my church, my call-out ones, so that you can learn of me for a purpose, so that you can fulfill the Great Commission. Because I told you, as the Father, as I am, so are you. The work that I do, so can you. I come to show you who you are. I come to show you that you have power over all the powers of your enemy. I come to show you that you can cast out devils. I come to show you that you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I come to show you, boy, that, boy, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I come to show you that you are a mighty man and a mighty woman and child and of the Most High God. I come to show you, boy, your true character and your true nature. So, yes, look at me and everything else. But, boy, when you look at me, boy, it's like looking into a perfect law, boy. Hallelujah. Like looking into a mirror. You're supposed to see a reflection of you. But what he was saying, man, that I come to bring, man, God's original plan and purpose back for your life. And his original plan and purpose for your life, you created his image and his likeness. And you ruling and reigning on the earth. Forever and ever and ever and ever. I ain't come to bring you to heaven. I come to bring heaven back to you. Hallelujah. So that it can be in your life here on earth just like it is in heaven. How are you going to get that done? Through colonization. What's colonization, man? When a king take over another territory, man, and send citizens from his kingdom and a governor to that kingdom, man, to establish the influence and the culture and the nature of the kingdom that they come from and the kingdom that they sent to. What are you preaching, Arthur? He was saying, man, you just like him. Another place the Bible says, man, you know, we living and dying like mere men and mere women when all the time we are little gods. Not capital G, little G. We are little offsprings of God. We ain't God. And we don't declare independent from God. And we ain't a God in and of ourselves. We little offsprings from the big G. We little God. Yet we living and dying like mere men and mere women. When all the time, boy, all of the kingdom of hell, all of our true identity. That's why Jesus said, come and learn of me. Come in and hear. You have heard that it has been said. And then he started quoting men, all the Old Testament prophets, everything else. Then he said, but I say unto you, Matthew chapter 5. He said, you heard Moses say it, did he say, but I say unto you. Another place in the Bible says, boy, on the Mount of Transfiguration, boy, a voice from heaven came, and Peter, James, and John heard a voice, and the voice came from God, and the voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Hallelujah. And when they opened up the eye, boy, Moses and Elijah was gone. There was nobody there, man, but Jesus. And that voice from heaven, man, said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. You have heard that it has been said, in time past I spoke to you through the prophets and the Old Testament characters and everything else. But in that time I was speaking to a man who was separated from me, who was dead in trespass and sin. But now I'm speaking to you, man, myself, through my only begotten Son, man. My word, I come myself in the person of boy, Mary's boy, boy, Jesus, man, myself, my spirit, my word, and everything else to tell you, boy, what does say the Most High God. And the Most High God said, boy, you more than just a Christian. You more than just a Baptist. You more than just a Hindu. You more than just a Muslim. You more than just a Catholic. You more than just any and all the titles that we follow upon. You more than a bishop or a pastor or a prophet and everything else. Say, boy, you are a king. And you are an ambassador of Christ. Boy, that's the highest positions in government. What's that, boy? King. An ambassador. But the king, that's a ruler of the whole territory, and everything in the territory belonged to him. What's an ambassador? A representative of that king. I love what that is. What's a king? A king, boy, is a ruler. The owner, the lord, the creator. By reason of ownership, boy, everything belonged to him. Everything. The whole thing is the embodiment of the kingdom, the unseen realm and the seen realm. That's the Lord. Who is the ambassador? Well, that's the representative of that king and his kingdom. I ain't talking about representative of our denominations, our church, our doctrine, our theologies. I'm talking about representative of the king. How you become a representative of the king? Well, you find out what the king say. You sit at the foot of the king. You fellowship with the king. You come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past what the preachers say, past what the Bible say, boy, they search the scriptures daily to see what them apostles were saying was true or not. Well, you got to know for yourself. How you going to know for yourself, man, when the whole purpose for us is the fivefold ministry, boy, is to lead you past the thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the church service, man, all the way behind the veil into the presence of the Most High God, where you have a personal relationship with your Father, yourself, where you can know him for yourself. And when you come to know him for yourself, he ain't speaking a whole bunch of different things, man. He ain't speaking but one thing. Lord. What's one thing he's speaking, man, that's the common denominator that will bring all us together, boy? This gospel of the kingdom. Let me tell you something, boy. I don't care who you are. That's what every man, every woman, and every boy is looking for. Listen, boy, the reason why they have all these things, men trying to appease deity and trying to live right and live for God and everything else, man, for hope of a utopia, for hope of a better place, for hope of, man, of eternal life, man, with God in heaven. What would make a man strap them children, man, strap bombs around them and, man, go and blow up a place, man, you know, and with people in it and kill themselves and other people too, man, in the name of God, in the name of their religion? Because they've been told, man, that the boy, that's a better place for them. They've been told, boy, that they're going to have, man, they're going to be in heaven, man, and all these families and everything. Been told, why? Because, boy, that's what everybody's looking for. Everybody want to live forever in a place called heaven. even those that don't even believe in it and don't know of it. But if it were true, man, I would love, I would, yeah. Right, because that's why I like that author. Because that's how it was created to be, and that's how it was. And that's the nature of every man to desire that. The good news is, man, that's available to you once again. That's available to you. And you can receive it now. And you can begin to chart your course toward that destination, man, now. Listen, I know it ain't all in its fullness now. You know, listen, the fulfillment of the totality of it, man, is not yet, man. There are future things to come. Yeah, the kingdom is here, but it will also be a future kingdom, too, man, where there ain't going to be no more devils. When the devil is cast into the lake of fire and the Antichrist and the false prophet and all them, man, that's a future kingdom. But I'm talking about the kingdom that's here now. Where's the kingdom that's here now, boy? I'm talking about the kingdom that's on the inside of you. Where's the kingdom, man? It's on the inside of you. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. It's in your thinking. It's in your emotion. It's in your whole. It's in you. It's not on the earth first, man. It's in the earth, in you. You in your body. You in your body. Who is you? You created in the image and likeness of God. You're a little G God that's living in the body. Where the kingdom of heaven start at first, man? In you. Not on the earth, in the earth. What's the earth? That's your body. What's in your body? Your spirit, that part of you that's created in the image and likeness of God, man. There's a ruler in you. There's a king in you, boy. And, boy, the Holy Spirit, that's the governor of the kingdom. That's the one God sent, man, you know, boy, to establish, man, the whole culture of it, man. That's the one who know everything about God. That's why he here now. See, he wasn't here. He was gone. And what Adam did, man, separated us, man, from the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit left, man, then, man, we lost the connection, man, with the kingdom. So how are we going to carry out, man, the kingdom being that we no longer have no connection of the kingdom? We don't even know nothing about the kingdom. Well, I'm going to say this here while I'm right here. Look, I don't think I'll be stressing, man. Majority of you out there under the sound of my voice, you don't know much about the kingdom. You ain't heard no messages on the kingdom. That ain't been the subject matter, man, of your church, man. And every message that they proclaim, man, is what? The re-establishment, man, of, and expansion of God's kingdom back on the earth. You do the math. How many sermons you didn't heard about the kingdom? What you know about the kingdom? That's why I say, boy, listen here, boy. In order for us to bend and reach our maximum potential, like I said on the beginning of our broadcast, when you come on the introduction, man, you are some total of the choices and decisions that we make. However, in order for us to make the right choice and the right decision that's going to get us to our God-given destiny depends on the quality of knowledge that we have, not just the knowledge that we have. A lot of theologians and everything else, man, got knowledge of this whole Bible and everything else, and can tell you all the exegesis and everything else, man, all that, man. I'm talking about the quality of the knowledge, the revelation knowledge that can only be revealed, man, by the Holy Spirit, glory to God, the governor. Who knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God? And, boy, he got cut off. He left. That spirit of life that God breathed into to Adam, man, and I told you about, boy, when Adam, man, willfully rebelled against the known will of God. What was the known will of God, boy? Them laws that he set up in the kingdom. Hey, listen, what's the first law? The law of life. What's the second law, man? The perfect law of liberty. He put him in the garden and told him, listen, out of all the trees in the garden, you can eat off any one of them you want to. That's a law of liberty. That's in the kingdom, perfect law of liberty. Freedom. Then he introduced another law, the law of sin and death. He said, but listen, there's a tree in there called a tree of good and evil. And he commanded the man, saying, if you eat out that tree, you're going to surely die. That's the law of sin and death. That's the law that set up, man. I'm talking about, boy, before Moses' law. Was that the law of life? The perfect law of liberty, freedom. You can eat off any tree in the garden that you want to, your own will, your own volition, your own way. You can, you know. And also, boy, if you rebel against my word, it ain't got nothing to do with no apple, nothing. He said, if you rebel against the known will of God, that's what sin is. To rebel against the known will of God. What's the known will of God? He gave him a law. Don't eat off that tree. Because if you eat off that tree, you're going to surely die. What they did, they ate out the tree. They disobeyed it, man. And what was the result of it, man? Sin. They rebelled against the word of God. And what was the result of sin? Death. What's that? That's a law of sin and death. That's a law. I'm going to remind you again of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what man cannot do through the weakness of the flesh, God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin, that he might redeem our lives from that destruction. Hallelujah. What's that, boy? That's the law of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's what he came in preaching. That's what he came talking about. For what purpose? To set you and I free from the law of sin and death. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you and I can come back into the Garden of Eden? So that you and I can come back into the secret place of the Most High God? So you and I can come back into the promised land? So you and I can come back, boy, into the kingdom of heaven on earth and commune with your Father in heaven and learn of him. And, boy, you'll be operating. James said it this way. As we look into this word of God, this gospel of the kingdom, and be not a forgetful hearer, but not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word that will receive the gospel of the kingdom, it'd be like a man looking into a mirror, and he'd be going from glory to glory to glory. And down in verse 25, it says, like the perfect law of liberty. Lord, look at the perfect law of liberty. Who the Son set free? Free from what? Free from the bondage of slavery of Satan, man, himself, and this world system, and the governing that's up of this world system that you and I live in. The law of sin and death. Who the Son set free is free indeed. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you can live now, boy, you can come back into the Garden of Eden and eat off the tree of life and live forever and ever and ever and ever. And just start becoming who you already are. Listen, this is a good news message that Jesus Christ come preach. All this available to you. All of the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance. And it said, give the Father, he said to give the Father great pleasure to give you that, to give you your inheritance. So that you can, man, come and learn of your inheritance, man, and start enjoying your inheritance. We're in Arthur right now. So that you can grow up into your inheritance. Listen, it's not enough. I've been saying this and over and over and over and over again for the last 2.5 years. So they get past your intellect and get down into your spirit, man, boy. Because there's another law, boy, in the kingdom of God, boy, that besides the law of life, besides the law of liberty, besides the law of sin and death, there's another law, man, called a law of faith. There's another law, man, called a law of love. And this is a law that I want to share with you in closing in this broadcast. It's a law called a law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he reap. Every seed going to produce after his own kind. If you sow to the spirit, you shall let the spirit reap life everlasting. If you sow to the natural man, man, and state man, continue, man, to be conformed to this old natural way that you've been born and conditioned to live in, man, then you're going to reap corruption and destruction. What do I do? We got to learn them laws. Because if you learn how to operate in those laws right there, then it'll fulfill the law of Moses. Let me say it in this way. Listen, if you break a law, man, and God is a God of laws, and everything he created, man, he created laws with it. I can tell you, man, Jesus, I ain't going to do away with no laws, man. I'm going to establish law. God is a God of law, man. You break the law, it has its built-in consequences, man. Death. If you pull a plant up out the ground, man, you know, the law that of life that's in there, it got to stay hooked up to the ground, to its source. If it's separated from its source, then, man, you violated that law. And you know what the result of that is? Plant death. What happened, man? The plants start dying. Why? Because, man, you done violated the law. What's the law? It got to stay hooked up to the soil. But watch this here. You can take that plant and you can repot it and hook it back up into the soil, and by some strange man's reason or whatever, man, it'll, man, get re-engrafted, man, and reconnected and everything else, man, and start back living again. What you saying, Arthur, man? Why? Because, man, even if you violate the law and take it from its source and sustainer, then you set in motion the law of death. And if you want to correct that, then that law of death